We have returned. We're in studio here with Howard Brockman, somebody whose journey in life I highly related to myself. He has written a book that really is the culmination of, would you say, 30 years of 35 years of your work and your journey. It's called Dynamic Energetic Healing, Integrating Core Shamanic Practices with Energy Psychology Applications and Process Work Principles. Howard, a psychotherapist himself, but he's worked with some other people to synthesize into this book a how-to manual for people who would like to even work on themselves. And there are guided methodologies that you can do these different things. I mean, how-to, is that a good terminology?
It is. The second section of the book is entitled Interventions. Mm-hmm. And every one of these energy psychology or interventions are, they have a separate chapter. They're illustrated. There's an explanation of why they work and how to apply them. Mm-hmm. So I believe just being able to find one or two of these interventions or energetic strategies to be able to use makes the whole book worthwhile. You don't need to understand the theory of dynamic energetic healing. You can immediately access any one of these interventions that are described and illustrated for personal benefit.
Now, I don't want to get into it because I want to save the book for people to read. But I'm just going to maybe read a couple of these things and you can do a one or two sentence commentary on it. Like tapas acupressure technique.
And this is an energy psychology intervention that was developed by a woman named Tapas Fleming, who is an acupuncturist, and it stimulates... basically, you're holding certain points like the bladder meridian and the governing vessel while focusing on the disturbance that quickly dissipates negative emotional charge.
And you can do this with yourself.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. The chakra interventions. You talked about chakras earlier. A lot of people, know about them, but I don't know whether anybody works with them directly as a modality for clearing or healing.
Well, because of my many years, about 20 years working, practicing with Kundalini yoga and meditation, I really developed a heightened sensitivity to the chakras. So when I'm working with people, I can actually see if they start tapping over their solar plexus chakra, which has to do with personal power and emotional restraint, I can actually see when other chakras begin to contract and condense. So I might guide them to next tap over their throat chakra, which has to do with how we represent who we really are from a place of integrity into the world. Mm-hmm. If that chakra is condensed, then tapping over that chakra will open up the flow of the energy, enabling them to be more honest in who they really are.
How about frontal occipital holding? Sounds good.
Well, this is really one of my most favorite interventions. Uh-huh. It's applying just a gentle touch to the forehead and a gentle touch to the back of the head. Thus, it's called frontal occipital holding. And this was initially developed by 3-in-1 Concepts, or Whole Brain, which is a stress management company, to alleviate stress by stimulating neurovascular points on the forehead and creating better vascular flow, thus inducing relaxation and creating emotional balance. But what started happening for me as I began learning and applying this technique is that I began having compressed time shamanic journeys. And so I'm able to have these visions where I see stepping into or perceiving in non-ordinary reality the compassionate spirits, which are part of the shamanic paradigm, actually doing the healing on the client as they're focusing on the disturbance. And about 99% of the time, when we're done and we do the muscle testing, everything has come into balance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sound is vibrational healing. I mean, this is something that's very dear to us. It's why I refused on radio to give up the music part of what we do, just to do all talk radio, just like all talk therapy. No, and all talk therapy is okay, but supplemented with some of the other dynamic energy processes, much different. Same thing with the radio here. You know, the music, the sound, the vibration has an impact on people's right hemisphere. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, I do. One of the things I learned from my teacher, Yogi Bhajan, while I was studying Kundalini Yoga was a part of yoga called Nad Yoga, or the science of the sound current. And mantras, different mantras are different frequencies that will affect different aspects of our being. And ancient scriptures were actually configured so that as they were repeated, the words would create vibrational shifts in the person reciting them that would create balance and harmony in that person. So I have discovered that using sound as an energetic intervention creates remarkable rapid shifts in energetic balancing. And some of these interventions include using a Tibetan bell, Tibetan bowls, as well as the mantra that I used to use and still do use from my years as a yogic practitioner.
I remember when I got my mantra in transcendental meditation doing an all-day workshop that was for corporate executives and managers, and having this mantra, which I have not forgot. I don't use that one as much anymore. My sitting practice and my meditation practice has kind of become more active and moving with it. But sound is very, very powerful, and so is song. Besides just a simple monotone or an om or those aspects, you know, you can, as we did, play 3.5 minutes of music of somebody having a message, and that's very powerful too.
And I might add that when the muscle testing of the client determines that the best intervention is the Tibetan bell, because people choose their own interventions, I'm just the facilitator.
Well, that's good.
There is always a wonderful smile that emerges because people love the sound of that Tibetan bell more than anything else. So they're just focusing on the disturbance while I chime that bell 3 or 4 times, and it creates an incredible centering of focused concentration on what that issue is. I have other experiences while that bell is being chimed, but for the client, it's a wonderful centering.
And you use muscle testing, kinesiology, manual muscle testing,
yes,
forms of that, to find out what sound intervention tool you might use, whether it maybe a drum at some point or a rattle or something like that?
That's right. In fact, one of the things I love about dynamic energetic healing is based on my process work with Arnie Mindell, because I consider myself to be an excellent facilitator, but I truly go in to the session saying to myself and to my client, I know nothing. I'm going to follow your process with exquisite attention so that you're going to lead us to where we need to go. You're going to choose the interventions, and I'm going to find out through muscle testing your body and your life force energy through your body so that I can support you as your process emerges.
I've heard sometimes that, we have accumulated so much knowledge and, we're stuffed with it, and that needs to be unwound to get to the core sometimes, because we've built layers and layers, not unlike the metaphor of an onion, in our mind of perceived realities or constructs or, images that, are not really accurate portrayals of who we really are. What do you say to that?
Well, I truly believe it's important to have 25 plus years of experience to bring into the session so I can identify patterns very quickly as they begin to emerge. While at the same time, it's very important for me to honor the client's process and come in with an attitude of the beginner's mind so that I don't start theorizing about what's going on with this client before allowing their process to emerge organically.
Yeah, more and more, at least in my sphere of influence and the people that I'm seeing doing, good work as practitioners, workshop facilitators, and even very recently, this work of Psyche has come to Elizabeth Rose, who's, done a training which uses muscle testing, but also it's addressing the parts that we're not aware of residing deeply in us, whether it's trauma or belief systems or thoughts that are holding us in limitation. and addressing that, speaking to that, and saying, wait a minute, this is not necessarily true. This belief system is not true. How do we get to direct knowing? So that's the good news for these times, whether we can, as a collective, with people like yourself out there working, create a shift to eliminate a lot of the chaos and the post-traumatic stress disorders that we're all feeling from just watching a TV newscast. Can you put on your prophetic hat? I mean, even though we don't know very much right now, and it's, you know, the clients are carrying this with them, you know, what's the future for you with this?
The future for me with this is to try to interest as many people as I can to want to take trainings to learn how to do this, because it isn't just about helping clients to recover from post-traumatic stress disorder, which this does very well. But as we move into this energetic orientation of working, what happens is, because that's the orientation, that's where we're working, we start to cultivate a wonderful sensitivity to our energetic being, if you will. So now when I'm muscle testing people, I know the answer before I actually push down on their arms. Mm-hmm. And this is something that is cultivated that people can learn. And I've also heard from clients that one of the reasons they love this model is because in previous experiences with other clients, what they've had happen is they've been able to con their clients because they're smart. Mm-hmm. And when I'm muscle testing them, even though they're saying, no, I don't want this to be true, what happens is the muscle testing accesses their unconscious, which is a direct pipeline to their soul. And they thank me because they're learning aspects about themselves that they're having to reconcile, that they know they can't con me or defend against, which they're very appreciative of.
All right. Maybe a closing commentary here on Howard and his work. I really related to the journey so far in your life, because much of it's been like my own. Kundalini yoga, you mentioned, which is a lot of energetic and breath work. Your Kundalini meditations, even with a threatening manta ray image that halted that, but you continued.
Yes.
Meetings and practices with Yogi Bhajan, as you mentioned, and this training in white tantra.
Yes.
Various religious studies. You even taught comparative religion, if I remember.
Yes, at Oregon State University.
Okay. You purchased and raised organic blueberries on a farm?
Well, I never got a blueberry planted on the farm, but it's what got me to Oregon.
Okay, so you were on, what was it, 15 acres or something like that?
That's right. Uh-huh. That's right.
I have to laugh because we made an offer on a farm in Vermont. This was back in the 70s. I never did get there myself. I guess we had other work to do.
Well, it was my intention, but it wasn't my destiny.
It wasn't your destiny. I felt good when you didn't grow blueberries, all right, and I didn't make pine furniture and maple syrup in Vermont. Ericksonian hypnosis training, process work with Arnie Mandel, a 10-year study program. I've interviewed Arnie a couple of times. We've never met. Just talking with him on the phone for an hour, he and I, have this connection as soul brothers, Reiki, shamanic studies and alignments with the spirit world, thought field therapy. We didn't talk about that. We did mention kinesiology, and there are a bunch of other interventions in the book. So just in closing, you've had what you call paradigm shifts. With some resistances at times.
Oh, yes.
More and more I'm getting that the chaos of the cosmos is part of the journey as we evolve. And sometimes we need to have those cosmic kicks, slaps, whatever you want to call them. Do we ever stop seeking? Because I know some spiritual masters have said, end the search. Call it off. Get quiet. And discover who you are. And I know that's not an easy thing to say, people. So those are my closing implorations to you. What do you say to people listening to us about the quantum shifts in the time and what you would recommend to them as a practice?
Well, I would say resist outward authority and go inside and find out what the truth is through making the time to discover what that is, regardless of what the spiritual practice is, because our culture and our society is becoming so complicated and so demanding that if we're not attentive to really trying to stay awake, we'll get enveloped in this collective trance and be swept down that current to our detriment.
Mm-hmm. It's many times on the show we'll say it's wake-up time.
Indeed.
It's wake-up time.
It is.
All right. Dynamic Energetic Healing is the book. Highly recommended. Your website?
www.dynamicenergetichealing.com.
That's easy. Wonderful talking with you.
Thanks, Alan. I really enjoyed it.